Today on From His Heart, Pastor Jeff Shreve begins a powerful series by introducing you to the one true God. Perspective is a critical thing. Without the proper perspective, people can make terrible decisions. They can easily believe lies simply because they're not seeing the whole picture. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and today he begins a series entitled Perspective, Understanding God and Man. And in today's message, Pastor Jeff shares the biblical truth about the nature of God and the nature of you and me. Who and why are we here? Listen, when we gain true perspective, we'll stand amazed at the goodness of God and His patient dealings with us. And the first lesson in this series is entitled, Introducing the One True God. Right now, open your Bible to Exodus chapter 33. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin this always timely series entitled, Perspective, with the first message entitled, Introducing the One True God.
It's been said about a picture that a picture is worth a thousand words. We like pictures. And in our day and age of technology, we have Facebook and we have Instagram and we have these ways of connecting socially. And so much of that is with pictures. Now, we didn't used to take pictures like we do today because everybody has a camera in his or her pocket with your phone, with your smartphone. And so lots and lots of pictures are taken. And then there are apps that take pictures and do strange things with them. They can distort a picture to make a picture look quite different. It's very difficult to know who that picture is. It represents because it's so distorted. It's like, I can't see that correctly. Well, we're starting a new series today called Perspective, Understanding God and Man. And the premise of this series is that we have lost our perspective of who God is and who man is. And because we don't have a proper perspective, because everything is distorted and skewed concerning God, concerning man, we have terrible problems in society. We have terrible problems in our own lives, self-inflicted problems. Why? Because we've lost perspective of who God is and who man is. Now, when it comes to God, this distorted picture affects so much. A.W. Tozer said this, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." So you ask yourself this question, well, what comes into my mind when I think of God? I had a man tell me one time in my office, he said, my father who's very active in church, my father who sings in the choir, this was years ago, my father who sings in the choir told me this as a young man, son, watch out for God because he's mean. He is mean. And that was the picture that this man had of God that he was passing along to his son. In the documentary, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, Ben Stein interviewed Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist, the biologist and atheist who wrote the book, The God Delusion. And he asked him this question about God. What do you think of when you think of God? Who is God to you? And Dawkins quoted from his book. He said, can I have a copy of the book? And he read from the book, and this is what he wrote. The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, and sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully. And then he closed his thesaurus. He has lots of big words in there. And then Ben Stein says, and that's what you think of God? And he said, yes. Well, he doesn't believe in God, but that's his concept of God. Now, if you have that kind of a distorted view of God, is it any wonder that you don't want to believe in him? Is it any wonder when you think that God is mean and cruel, as Dawkins said, a capriciously malevolent bully? That means God is just ready to whack you at any moment, that he gets his jollies from smashing you on top of the head. If that's your view of God, let me tell you something. You are going to keep your distance from God. Why? Well, who wants to get close to a God like that? Nobody. You stay away from a God like that, because if he's just going to start whacking people, you want to be as far away as possible. Well, obviously, that's not God. And some people have the idea that, you know, God presents himself pretty well, but just like all beings, God has a dark side. Well, does God have a dark side? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John says this, "What we have heard from God, we declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." God doesn't have a dark side. God is holy God. And in the book of Exodus, as God is leading his people out of Egypt with the intention of bringing them into the promised land, God speaks to Moses, and God reveals himself to Moses. He introduces himself to Moses, and in so doing, introduces himself to us. Exodus, I'll begin reading in chapter 33, starting in verse 18. "Then Moses said, 'I pray you, show me your glory.' And he said, 'I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion.' But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live.' Then the Lord said, 'Behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen.'" Chapter 34, "Now the Lord said to Moses, 'Cut out for yourself two stone tablets like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets which you shattered.'" And Moses shattered those when he came down off the mountain the first time and saw that the people had made an idol and were worshiping it. Verse 2, "So be ready, God says, by morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain, and no man is to come up with you, nor let any man be seen anywhere on the mountain, even the flocks and the herds may not graze in front of that mountain." So he cut out two stone tablets like the former ones, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took two stone tablets in his hand. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations.' And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship." In this passage, God is presenting himself. He is introducing himself, so to speak, to Moses and to us. And I want you to notice three discoveries that we see from this passage, namely verses 5, 6, and 7. Discovery number one, God is the one and only God. He's the one and only God. So the Lord is passing by. He's going to make all his goodness pass by. He's passing by and he proclaims his name. When he proclaims his name, he is proclaiming his nature, his character, his heart, who he is. And he says, the Lord God. Yahweh, Lord is all in caps. That means it's Yahweh, YHWH, the special name of God, the covenant name of God, the memorial name of God. It's the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush when Moses asked the question, Lord, who is your name? The children of Israel are going to ask me, what's God's name? And I don't know your name. And God says, I am who I am. You tell the children of Israel, I am has sent you. I am Yahweh. YHWH, the very special name of God. And so as God passes by, he says, the Lord God. My seminary professor in Old Testament class, he quoted that passage and he said, why does God repeat? Why does he say the Lord God? He said, I believe it's because God is letting Moses know, letting us know that he is the one and only Yahweh, Yahweh God. There is no other God but Yahweh God. The scripture says in Isaiah 45 verse 5, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. God is the one and only God. Now the Jews were taught every morning, every evening, to repeat this thing called the Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel. Shema in Hebrew means hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That's the scripture that Jesus went to when he was asked the question, which is the greatest commandment in the law? It's right there. And the Jews would say it morning and evening. The Lord our God is one. He is echad. He is united. He is one. And so they knew that. And one of the reasons why it was difficult for the people in the New Testament to understand that Jesus was God is because they thought that God was just one, and they didn't see how Jesus could be God, because then God would be two. But God is one. He is one God in three persons. We see that right off the bat in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God, and the word that's used there is Elohim, which is a plural noun. It's almost like it would read, in the beginning, God's created the heavens and the earth. But it's not God's, it's just God. And then in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, we read these words where the Lord God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Who is talking there? The Trinity is talking. See, God exists in Trinity. And people have a difficult time understanding the Trinity. You have a hard time with it. I have a hard time with it. All theologians have a hard time with it. Why? Because there is only one God. And God exists in Trinity. And God is saying to Moses as he introduces himself, I am the Lord and there is no other. The Lord God. It was exactly what the people said on Mount Carmel when they were hesitating between is Baal God or is Yahweh God, and they had the big contest, and God showed that he was God. And when the fire came down as Elijah prayed and licked up the offering and the stones and the water and everything, the people saw what had happened and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And God is saying that same thing right here. The Lord, God. He is the one and only God, the triune God. Second discovery, God is thoroughly and completely good. the Lord God, compassionate and gracious. That's what he says about himself. Compassionate and gracious. This is God introducing himself. Does he introduce himself as a capricious, malevolent bully? No, because God is nothing like that. And what Richard Dawkins and what other people think about God is such a distortion that it's completely out of the picture. He creates his own image of God, that God is nothing like what he thinks he is. God is a God who is compassionate and gracious. That word compassionate is also translated merciful. It comes from two words when you talk about compassion. It's two words put together, com, which means with, and passion, which means suffering, with suffering. And you apply that to God and you say, well, God is compassionate. God feels your hurt in his heart. He suffers with people. And that word compassion also comes from a root, which means the womb of a woman, as a baby is growing in her womb, and how a woman cherishes and nourishes and protects and has mercy and compassion on that baby that she has not met yet that is growing in her womb. That's how God feels about you and me. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious. You know what gracious means in the Hebrew? I love this definition. It means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. God is compassionate and gracious. He bends and stoops to you and me. Tremendous inferiors to God. I think the picture of that, not only in the incarnation where Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, becomes a man. He humbled himself by becoming a man. But when you see him in John chapter 13, washing the disciples' feet, bending and stooping to serve them, doing the lowest job of a slave. God is gracious, compassionate, and gracious. And then it goes on to say, not only is he compassionate and gracious, but he is slow to anger. God is extremely patient. He's not limitless in patience, because you can exhaust the patience of God. But God is extremely patient. He is very slow to get angry. He's not a capricious, malevolent bully. See, a capricious, malevolent bully can just go off on you like that. When Richard Dawkins says that about God, he says, you just never know when God's going to whack you. God's not like that at all. He's slow to anger. And literally what that means, I've told you this before, slow to anger is to be long in the nose. That's how the Hebrews viewed that. It takes God a long time before he starts to breathe heavy, before he starts to take a big breath because his anger is starting to build up. It doesn't take you and I very long to do that, but it takes God a long time to do that because he is so patient. I think about in Genesis chapter 6, where the Lord looks out and he sees the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intent of the heart of man was only evil continually, and God was sorry that he made man, and he was grieved in his heart. And he said, I will destroy man. I will blot them out from the face of the earth. But you remember, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God, who said the world has, it's gone. Man's thoughts are only evil continually. There's no way to redeem this. Yet he gives man 120 more years, giving them more opportunity to respond. None of them did, other than Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their three wives. God is extremely patient. And then it says that God is overflowing with loving kindness and truth. The Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Loving kindness is a cool word. It's used in the New American Standard Bible 175 times. over and over and over and over and over again, this loving kindness. It's the Hebrew word hesed, C-H-E-S-E-D, and you say it kind of like you got something stuck in your throat because that's a lot of Hebrew words, hesed. And so that's God's loyal love. That's God's covenant love. That's when you take God's love and God's kindness and you meld them together. God has loyal love for his people. God is a God who overflows with loyal love, faithful love. The Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding, overflowing with this love, this kindness and love mixed together, and truth, and truth. That word truth means faithfulness. It means sureness. It means stability, reliability. That's God, and his throne is built on love and truth. Justice and mercy, those things come together in God. You know, there is no New Testament word for the Old Testament word hesed. We don't have anything like that in the New Testament. As far as loving kindness, you read it over and over and over. It's found 121 times in the book of Psalms. And over, God takes truth, loving kindness and truth, and he uses those together. And you can find many, many verses that talk about God's loving kindness and truth, and they're just linked together. But in the New Testament, we don't find the word loving kindness. What we find is the word grace. Grace is God's love in action. Grace is God's love and God's kindness. Charis in the Greek language. And I think that loving kindness, hesed in the Old Testament, is charis in the New Testament, is grace. And what does the Bible say about Jesus? He was full of grace and truth. He's full of grace and truth, loving kindness and truth. And he's not a God who is all grace and very little truth. He's not a God who is ton of truth and very little grace. He's full of both grace and truth. He's abounding in loving kindness and truth, abounding in grace and truth.
Well, that is not a bad quality to have. He's full of both grace and truth. He's abounding in loving kindness and truth, abounding in grace and truth. You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve and the message, Introducing the One True God. Now, this lesson is from the series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. And maybe you or someone you know doesn't see God in that light, abounding in loving kindness and grace and truth. Those are surely foundational qualities of the One True God. So if you think that God has a dark side, then you'll benefit from this powerful series called Perspective, Understanding God and Man, where he hits the reset button for you and allows you to see and understand the one true God. And that will change everything for you and bring you real hope for this world, for now and for eternity. The sixth message series is our thank you for your support of any amount this month to help us broadcast around the world and here in your hometown. Pastor Jeff is a volunteer for From His Heart, receiving no income from it. To get Perspective, Understanding God and Man in the format of your choice, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org and start seeing the loving, caring, all-forgiving God for who he really is. Well, time is up for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be here tomorrow, when Pastor Jeff Shreve continues to introduce us to the one true God to help us know and trust the loving kindness and truth that are key attributes of the one true God. That's on Friday, when we'll again open God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart, here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.